ladies and gentlemen. The first case for argument this morning is CertainTeed Corporation against Williams. Mr. Key.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Conrad Key of Jackson Lewis LLP on behalf of the appellate CertainTeed Corporation. It's a pleasure to appear before this court in the Super Circuit, although for those Chicagoans around here, it wasn't a good result yesterday. Your Honor, I'm from Southern Illinois, Your Honor, so I'm not sure I'm a fan of either team. Your Honor, this is a case of an executive, a well-educated, well-compensated executive who had 2 weeks to make a decision and elected to sign a non-competition agreement as a condition of a promotion. He made that decision, elected to sign the agreement, received several hundred thousand dollars in compensation, and then made the decision to ignore it. Last year, we sought a preliminary injunction before Judge Holderman to deal with to stop Mr. Williams from being employed by a competitor of CertainTeed Corporation under the terms of his agreement.
Mr. Key, CertainTeed argues that even under the modified language, Mr. Williams cannot engage in any work that involves residential roofing products because he had access, you know, to the confidential information. But isn't that inconsistent with the district court's order, in which the court explains that he has a right to engage in work that competes with CertainTeed as long as that work does not require him engage in or contribute to his new employer his knowledge of the confidential information that CertainTeed has, of course, a legitimate interest in protecting?
Yes, Your Honor. And I believe as the appellee has conceded at it's either page 14 or 20 of their brief, if you take the district court's decision at face level, Mr. Williams' employment there currently violates the reformed provisions of this. Now, as I understand appellee's argument, the argument is, well, the district court really didn't mean what it wrote, that Mr. Williams should be, in effect, I think appellee's argument is that while the court says Mr. Williams is subject to these restrictions in paragraph 7 of the agreement, he really only ought to be subject to the restrictions in paragraph 3 of the agreement. We don't believe that that's what the court said, or more importantly, we don't believe that that's
what the district court said. You're not in the district court anymore, right? I don't understand all this business about the reformed agreement. There is an actual agreement. It's either enforceable or it isn't. The only question before us is whether he is in violation of the actual agreement and whether those things are enforceable.
Yes, Your Honor, and we believe that Mr. Williams is in violation of the agreement.
Forgive me.
Yes, Your Honor.
What evidence did you submit that his work required him to utilize confidential information that had been obtained from CertainTeed?
Your Honor, we presented testimony from two witnesses, Mr. Stahl and Mr. Kalkanoglu. And those witnesses testified regarding all of the extensive nature of the information that Mr. Williams had received while he was employed by CertainTeed and the duties of a plant manager, which requires, it may not be so much as the product design, but it requires constant innovation.
But how do you get past that stipulated fact that CertainTeed had no evidence indicating that he had disclosed or utilized or offered to disclose or offered to utilize any confidential information?
Well, Your Honor, if that's the standard, and that certainly we had no evidence at the time that Mr. Williams had actually used or disclosed, but as this court has held in both the Newmark and the Lakeview cases, we don't have to wait until
Newmark is completely irrelevant. It's under Illinois law. This case is under Pennsylvania law. Now, that I completely understand your question, that your point, I take to be your point, that this agreement has a prophylactic function, That is, it keeps Williams out of positions where he might be able to use confidential information without your having to prove it. And then the fact that you haven't proved it is neither here nor there. But that would be the big question, I take it, under Pennsylvania law. Is this the type of position where a former employee could put confidential information to use in a way that would be undetectable?
Yes, Your Honor, and that's what Mr. Kakanoglu and Mr. Stahl testified about, and which was really uncontradicted, was the nature of a plant manager's job is to make constant innovations as you go through there. Problems occur in the plant. And as problems occur, it's Mr. Williams' job as the plant manager to fix that. There's certainly no difference between in the substantive, the prophylactic nature of a non-competition agreement under Pennsylvania law or Illinois law or Indiana law, I believe is in the Lakeview case. All of these states all recognize that you don't have to wait until after there is an actual use or disclosure to commence a lawsuit. In fact, that would almost be nonsensical or illogical, because after there's been a use or disclosure, then you may have economic damages.
Concrete, what confidential information did he have that as a plant manager he would be tempted to use in an undetectable way?
Well, Your Honor, Mr. Williams had been subject first to all of our testing standards, all of the various standards that it had gone through. There were a number of products that were made in that plant that were actually in the development stage, where they went through the trial and error stage. Mr. Williams,
this is not concrete, right? You had a witness testify. What concretely did he say could be used?
Your Honor, what Mr. Stahl testified Mr. Williams would be able to use was the constant innovation. Would be attempted to use. It's really focused on
I'll tell you, that's not concrete. Right. He came from a firm that's in favor of constant innovation, and he went to a firm that's opposed to innovation. Oh, come on. There must be something real. Hey, that sounds like it's taken from a Dilbert strip.
Well, Your Honor, I don't mean to take it from a Dilbert strip, but this is a plant where they were, first, they had a unique product of a laminated shingle. They had gone through significant issues to try to resolve the manufacturing process for this laminated shingle.
We're not getting anywhere. Could you give me a citation to the place where your witness gave some concrete examples?
I believe, Your Honor, that Mr. Kakanoglu testified at pages 82, pages 85, about the sealing and laminated adhesive products in Mr. Williams' plant and the things that they went through in terms of improving this process and the changes in raw materials specifications.
Transcript 85?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, I'll look.
There's also some pages in there at 93 and 98 that Mr. Kakanoglu testified about.
We'll look.
Okay.
Now, sorry for having interrupted my colleague.
Thank you, Chief. I was wondering, when you started to talk about the standards, aren't the standards industry-wide?
No,
Your Honor. The testing standards industry-wide?
They're not industry-wide, Your Honor. While the testing standards, or what you might look at to see how much pressure does a shingle take or how long it lasts, but the actual design of the shingle is not industry-wide. And, in fact, Mr. Kakanoglu testified that you could not reverse engineer the shingle. There are products that go into the manufacturing process that disappear as they're manufactured. Because they're taken away, and there are certain factors of that. While the end result might be testable under an industry standard, the actual manufacturing process, the product specifications, the designs, the various fixes that have been made to the machines to make a product, the resolutions of the quality problems in a plant, those things are not industry standards. If they were, everybody would be making the same shingle, and that's simply not the case, Your Honor.
Thanks.
The situation in this case, Your Honor, as we say, is really Mr. Williams is subject to paragraph 7 of an employment agreement. that provides two ways of looking at it. One is the way the district court looked at it, and one way is the agreement, which says that he will not work in a competitive position. There's no dispute in this case that, as the court found, that CertainTeed had established that it had a protectable interest in protecting its confidential information and in implementing non-competition agreements. Really, the only issue that was found in the court was that because Mr. Williams, we had not proved that Mr. Williams had actually used or disclosed, that we were unable to enforce the non-compete agreement. Further, the court concluded that non-competition agreements more broadly are essentially are not you can't stop a person under Pennsylvania law from working with a competitor. And while the Pennsylvania courts have not been as prolific in writing as this court has, and perhaps if they had, there might be a fewer disputes in Pennsylvania courts, in terms of the appellate courts, there have been a number of decisions in the lower-level courts where non-competition agreements were imposed and recognized to keep a person out of the industry. For example, in the National Business Services case, another district court case, the court imposed and recognized a non-competition agreement that kept an employee out of the industry for longer than a year. But where it comes down to is under Pennsylvania law, it is Mr. Williams' burden to establish that the non-competition agreement is unreasonable, and that case comes from the Bryant versus Sling testing. Mr. Williams did nothing to establish that the agreement was unreasonable. He simply argued, essentially like many folks do, I promise and I won't disclose anything, I'll do my best. And that, of course, is not what the law provides under Pennsylvania law or really in the law of any other state. It's that an employee is not just obligated to do their best. They're obligated to comply with the terms of the agreement. And under the terms of the agreement, Mr. Williams' employment at ICO would clearly be prohibited. And finally, we would ask the court, to consider the appropriate relief in this case, which in this case, it's very clear that regardless of how you interpret the agreement, whether you come to the district court's interpretation or whether you apply the agreement as a whole, in Mr. Williams' employment at ICO, that he can no longer continue in his current position at ICO. Perhaps ICO has some other position out there, but at least at the time in the stipulated facts, ICO stipulated that there were no positions at ICO available that would not involve the process of residential roofing shingles that Mr. Williams worked on while he was at CertainTeed.
You said there's a stipulation in the record to that effect?
Yes, Your Honor.
That can be found where? That he is, in fact, he was hired on to work on residential roofing manufacturing?
Yes, Your Honor. And I believe that at the stipulated facts, I think that is Exhibit F, that's Exhibit F or to the appendix. And I'll provide it to the citation of the court on my rebuttal, but there is a citation in there where the parties agreed that there was no position at ICO that Mr. Williams could perform that would not involve residential roofing shingles.
Well, I remember that from the briefing, but what evidence is in the record about what it is he was, in fact, hired to do? What was within his job description that would constitute a violation of the non-compete, assuming it's enforceable?
I believe, Your Honor, that we stipulated that his job involved the managing a plant that manufactured roofing shingles, which there was really no doubt that would be violating his agreement.
Residential roofing shingles of the sort that he had been manufacturing.
Yes, Your Honor.
Your client. Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Key. Mr. Fox.
Good morning. May it please the court. The hearing before Judge Holderman was to determine a factual issue, whether or not Mr. Williams could work for ICO without violating confidences, without disclosing or utilizing confidential information obtained while he was an employee at CertainTeed. It was a factual hearing. Evidence was taken on that issue.
Where did the district court find that this was a job where he could not use confidential information, as opposed to a finding, which I think the district judge actually made, that CertainTeed had not proved that he had in fact used confidential information?
The court ordered continued employment by Williams at ICO.
Look, you said the district court made a finding of fact after a hearing that this was a job where Williams could not use confidential information. And I'm asking you where that finding is.
I don't think, if I said that, I misspoke.
All right. There is a finding that there was no proof that he had used confidential information. Am I correct?
That
sets up the legal question whether, as a matter of Pennsylvania law, it is permissible to have a restrictive covenant that deals with positions where one could use confidential information without detection. One of the big problems in these cases, one reason why people draft agreements like this, is that it's so hard to prove actual use of confidential information. So the question I'm asking is, as a matter of Pennsylvania law, can one draft an agreement that has a prophylactic scope?
It could say, as this one did, he cannot use confidential information.
Well, I know what this agreement said. I'm asking you about Pennsylvania law. Where do we go to find out whether under Pennsylvania law such an agreement is proper?
My sense of the cases in Pennsylvania is that it would be only proper if it would be essential to protect the confidential information by keeping him from working for a competitor.
Is there some Pennsylvania case that addresses the question as I have phrased it? And if so, which case would that be?
I don't have the specific case, but they recognize a doctrine in several of the cases called inevitable disclosure. In those cases, they found that the nature of the job would require the disclosure of confidential information.
That's obviously not the problem. There are very few jobs that require the disclosure of confidential information, and many jobs that permit it. And it may be very hard to discover. I'm trying to figure out how Pennsylvania law treats that category of cases.
I don't know.
But that's our category.
The Pennsylvania law that I have reviewed says that in certain cases it is inevitable that there will be disclosure, and therefore a covenant not to compete would be appropriate. In this case, because of the findings based upon substantial evidence, the court concluded it would not be inevitable for disclosure to be made. And the substantial evidence that I would cite...
We're not getting anywhere. Given the district court's finding of fact, if the rule of Pennsylvania law is that only when disclosure is inevitable may a covenant restrict employment, then you win. The question is that what Pennsylvania law says? Only when disclosure is inevitable may there be any restriction on employment.
I do not think that's what Pennsylvania law says. I think Pennsylvania
says that you lose.
No, Pennsylvania law says that it will enforce a covenant not to compete only when it is essential to protect an interest of the employer.
What Pennsylvania case do you rely on for the proposition that that will be enforced only when? The critical clause is only when. What case do you rely on? I've looked at the cases cited in the briefs, and they don't say that.
No, they don't say it in black and white as such, but they say it just as every other state does, that a restrictive covenant against...
Not every other state, counsel. That's one of the problems. Illinois and California are uniquely hostile to these kinds of agreements, and the district court's opinion reads as if it were enforcing Illinois law, which it isn't. Pennsylvania does not appear to be hostile to these kinds of agreements. The states are all over the map on how they treat these agreements, and we need to figure out Pennsylvania's approach.
It's a matter of degree. I agree. I concede that Illinois is tougher. California is so opposed to these restrictive covenants that CertainTeed does not even have their...
Pennsylvania.
I understand that. I understand that that even though we disputed the application of Pennsylvania law, the court did find that Pennsylvania law does apply.
The problem, as I see it, Mr. Fox, is that the district court was not entirely clear, either in its fact findings or its determination, unless I've really missed something.
I think that the key to the decision, and I believe Your Honor was referring to it, is on page 14 of the decision, where the court said, after making an effort at reforming the paragraph 7, the court said, Williams has a right to engage in work that competes with CertainTeed as long as that work does not require him to engage in or contribute to his new employer his knowledge of the confidential information that CertainTeed has a legitimate interest in protecting.
But that statement conflicts with the reformed agreement.
It doesn't if you read, engage in or contribute my knowledge, if you use that word knowledge to mean the knowledge he acquired at CertainTeed.
No, the agreement as reformed prohibits employment at a competitor that manufactures a product line that corresponds to a product line at his prior employer that he had access to confidential information from.
I don't think it does.
Well,
I don't think it does. Let's look at it.
That's my interpretation of the agreement as reformed. The only clause that was struck out was one that said any competitor. What the district court did here was attempt equitable reformation of this non-compete clause, but then the district court enforced it as if it were simply a non-disclosure clause.
Yes.
And those are two fundamentally inconsistent things.
It's difficult to reconcile the decision with the wording of the opinion, unless you interpret engage in or contribute my knowledge in the reform paragraph to meaning knowledge acquired at CertainTeed. If you interpret it that way, then it is consistent with the sentence that tries to, in the opinion, that tries to define what he meant by saying engage in or contribute knowledge obtained confidential information from CertainTeed. One point I'd like to make in the brief time allotted me is the fact stipulated in the record about Mr. Thompson's, an employee of ICO's, history working for a number of employers all in the same business of manufacturing roofing tiles. Mr. Thompson most recently went from ICO, where he signed a non-disclosure, to CertainTeed, where he was doing the same job as a plant manager. He managed a number of plants for ICO previously. He testified by deposition, but it was stipulated, it's part of the stipulation, that he was able to go to work for CertainTeed without using ICO's confidential information, and that he knew that Mr. Williams could go to work for ICO without using CertainTeed's information. I think that was the most significant fact.
But of course, it just takes us back to the central point. It is, the district court found, it is possible for Williams to work as a plant manager without using confidential information. It appears to be possible for him to use the confidential information. And we just need to figure out then whether, as a matter of Pennsylvania law, it is permissible to have a contract that deals with a situation where it is possible to use the information, but hard to prove it in court. That's why I'm very much wishing you would cite me some relevant Pennsylvania cases.
I don't have one on that point, I'm sorry to say. I do have the language in Pennsylvania decisions, and I can get that for you, that says these contracts are only enforceable if they're necessary to protect the confidential information of the employer.
The word only is something you seem to be adding to the Pennsylvania cases. That's the critical step.
Well,
if the cases themselves said only when, then you have a clear win. But they don't say only when.
They state that they probably do not.
Right. If a federal court says you can stop someone on the street when there's probable cause to arrest him, does that mean only when there's probable cause to arrest him? No, surely not. We also have Terry. You can stop somebody on the street in other circumstances. That's That's what's going on here. You're going from the proposition, clause okay if A, to only if A, and the only if is not a logical interpretation.
Well, there's no other justification that I can see for enforcing a covenant against an employee. This court has made the distinction in a number of cases between employees and entrepreneurs. This is clearly an employee. This was not a negotiated contract.
The case
it was
you're referring to is decided under Illinois law.
I understand that. I understand that. My last comment would be that I believe that the testimony of the witnesses for CertainTeed was overstated, the impact of their testimony. They did not testify that Williams would disclose confidential information when working at ICO. It was only testimony was that it would be difficult and probably not likely that he could perform for ICO without drawing upon confidential information. That is quite different than the argument being made by CertainTeed that it is impossible to work for ICO without disclosing that information. The fact is that the order, as I understand it and as Mr. Williams understands it, prohibits him from disclosing confidential information. His job at ICO is conditioned, his right to work for ICO is conditioned upon non-disclosure of confidential information, which is an injunctive order granted against him on the non-disclosure, although not granted against him on the non-competition. That, I submit, is the relief to which CertainTeed is entitled. The only relief, the only relief that they are justly entitled to and the relief that they had. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Fox. Anything further, Mr. Key?
Thank you, Robert. Your Honor, in terms of the stipulation of fact regarding that there were no other positions available, that's number 122 that we discussed. And the court has highlighted, I think, what the issue here is. Under Pennsylvania law, there is a distinction between the concept of what appellee urges in this case, that being inevitable disclosure, versus the necessity of protecting information where there is a possibility of disclosure. The inevitable disclosure doctrine, as this court is undoubtedly aware, comes from the case of PepsiCo v. Redmond, a decision from a few years ago, not enforcing a non-competition agreement, but enforcing an injunction against Mr. Redmond under the Uniform Trade Secrets Act. We're not seeking, that's a very different case because the Uniform Trade Secrets Act permits injunctive relief when it is inevitable that confidential information will be used. Here, however, there's simply no connection between inevitable disclosure law, except to the extent there's some issue, and the Uniform Trade Secrets Act. Really, here we're at the question of Pennsylvania law on the enforcement of non-competition agreements, which under Pennsylvania law, under a number of cases, the Bryant Sling Company cited in our brief, permits.
I think we have your position, counsel. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The case will be taken under advisement.